Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
All right, welcome everybody. How many of you loving some summer weather? Come on, man. Yeah, it was a mild winter and just enjoy summer. How many of you believe in God for another mild winter? Amen. Anybody praying for some global warming in Pittsburgh? Come on. Hey, we're so glad you're here to worship with us. If you're watching online, live stream, thanks for being a part of the service. It's just an honor to have everybody. This morning we have guests with us from Hong Kong. They pastor a church in Hong Kong. Haven't had the chance to meet them yet personally. But would you guys please stand? Steve and Charmin Fisher are in, they pastor a church in Hong Kong. Bless you guys. Look forward to getting to meet you all. And we're glad to have them here with us this morning. You know, we're about to step into sending tomorrow. Our kids go to camp, that is our senior high students, the Thrive Ministry, they're going to camp. I want to pray over them here in a moment. But I also want to encourage you parents with children that are in Echo or in Blast, the middle school and the elementary ages, that if you haven't yet signed your student up for camp, be sure to do that. It's coming up. It's July 17th through 21st. It's extremely important. These things that God speaks to our kids, our lives, of our children, even when they're little. I know that Michelle, her greatest encounter with God, that one of the greatest encounters she remembers in her whole life when she was just a little kid at a camp, and it changed her life. Remember this, the seeds that God puts in your child's heart remain. And so you want to take full advantage of those opportunities, because I can tell you this, as your children get older and they begin to move beyond your life, your voice in their life begins to get less and less influential. And that's the way God designed it. But how many of you know as our voices get muted and eventually we leave the planet? How many of you know you don't get to stay here forever? The voice of God can remain strong in the heart of your child. So please take full advantage of that. If you haven't signed your student up yet for the middle school and the elementary camp, please do that. So let's pray though before we go in the service. I want to pray over our students that are leaving tomorrow to go to camp. And let's just believe God that they're going to have an incredible encounter with God, that Jesus will speak into their life and give them insight and direction, who he made them to be, the purpose he has for them, and they can grow intimate with their God. Let's pray together over our students. Father, I thank you for the upcoming camp, for our students along with all those that will be coming. We just trust you for divine protection and safety upon them. But Lord, we pray that you do something amazing in their lives, that you reveal yourself to them, you reveal your heart to them, you reveal yourself in such a way that they discover who they are in light of who you say they are. They find their identity in you, and they will have an encounter with your divine presence as you'll move into their life and in their heart. We bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, just out of curiosity, how many of you parents have students going to camp that will leave you completely childless at home? Raise your hand. Yeah, you're just like, aren't you just going, thank you, Jesus. I'm like, oh, my God, hallelujah. All right. Well, for those of you that aren't, you know, you'll hit the trifecta one of these days. I'll get at one camp at the same time. We're in the middle of the summer of spiritual growth. But can I just let you in on something? I hope you have a fall of spiritual growth too. Amen. Right there is a good place to go. Amen. And a winter and a spring and another summer of spiritual growth. But we're focusing on this so that you understand how to grow and develop spiritually. So we're talking to you about the importance of having God's word in your life on a daily basis. So week after week, I've just briefly mentioned it. I took a week and actually taught about it, but I want to reiterate it just for a moment. How many of you have heard me talk a little bit about having a devotional life? All right. How many of you have just heard it and not had the chance yet to say, well, okay, don't raise your hand. Let me try that the other way. How many of you have started the devotional life? Raise your hand. Okay. For those, I didn't want to make the other folks raise their hand because I don't want to make you feel bad in the house of God. Hallelujah. However, if all I do is talk and you don't act, you never get the benefit of what's available to you in God. So remember, five simple things to have a devotional life. And all through the summer, I want to remind you, just simply set an appointment with God every day of the world. Don't set the same time every day for the rest of your life unless your life fits that calendar and that lifestyle. Most of us don't. The day before, just set your appointment with God. Look at your calendar. Take 30 minutes. This is my time with God. Keep the appointment like you would keep a doctor's appointment, like you would keep a dentist appointment, like you would keep an appointment with someone you may not even want to meet with. But keep the appointment with God. get alone, get in a private place, whatever that is for you. And for me, it's in my office at home. And then just sit and calm yourself down and put on some worship music that's meaningful to you. Take 5-6 minutes and sing and worship God. Just out of your heart, worship Him because He's worthy. And once you take a little bit of time worshiping God, the next thing you want to do is pray. Just take some time, 5-6 minutes. First thing I do every day of the world, I start by praying this. I say, Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart today be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. You are my strength and my redeemer. And then the next thing is whatever's heavy on my heart, I talk to Him like I talk to you. I said, Lord, this is so heavy on my heart today. I'm so burdened by this. And I roll that care over on God every day of the world. And I talk to Him about it. If it's heavy on my heart, and then I just trust Him and I pray over it and I commit it to Him. I pray the prayers very often in Ephesians and Colossians and Philippians that Paul uttered by the Holy Spirit over the church. And then after you spend some time praying, then read your Bible. Now again, I've asked you this question, how do you read your Bible? What's the key? Open it and it's on the inside. So I don't know how to start. This isn't the best way, but do one of these and you'll be okay to start. But let me give you a hint. Try to move toward the front of the book if you're going to do the point and click, okay? Because you might just end up in the begats and get real, real discouraged. And Methuselah begat Bagaluskala and Balukaluskala, you know, that there's a reason for those, but not in your devotional, okay? So you might want to read a psalm or a proverb every day. You might want to take the letters in red, the words of Jesus, start reading those. The epistles, get a one-year Bible. Just read the Word. And after you finish taking time reading God's Word, now don't make it a duty. I have to read 2.5 chapters. Don't do that. You might get into one verse and just stop right there and spend 10 minutes just reading that over and over again as God speaks to your heart from that verse. You'll learn as you develop a relationship and an intimacy with God how that works. After you're done reading the Word, then just sit and be quiet and let God speak to your heart. And what He impresses upon your heart, write it down or type it out and keep a record of what He says to you. And over time, you'll develop an intimacy with God. It is so important that you have a devotional life. So this is Sunday. How many of you know Monday is coming? Is anybody aware of that? Anybody busy on Monday? How many of you have some stuff you have to do? Well, can I tell you something about God? He never comes second. He will never be second. If you're going to have a strong spiritual life, He must be first. Everybody else, including me and including you, must be second. Put Him first. Make it a point in your life. Whenever that works for you, get your 30 minutes alone with God every single day of the world. So today I want to talk to you about the power of God's Word in your life. Three things, not the only three things, but three things putting God's Word in your heart and acting upon it will do for you. The first, it will cause you to grow spiritually. The second, it will give you strength to stand. Anybody ever have some difficulties in life? Am I the only person ever faces stuff? And the last thing, it will teach you and you'll discover who you really are. And you won't let the identity thieves of this world and this culture steal your identity. You'll find out and discover who you really are. So first, let's talk about the power of God's Word imparted into your life on a daily basis, where it will cause you to grow spiritually. 1 Peter chapter 2:2, which is we've read already, but I just want to reiterate it one more moment. He said, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk of the Word of God so that by it, you may grow up in your salvation. The Word of God will cause you, like milk causes, the mother's milk causes a baby to grow. If you feed on the Word of God, it will cause you to grow the same way. It will cause you to grow spiritually. You will grow thereby, but you have to crave it. You have to desire the Word of God. You have to make it practical. What other ways can you put God's Word in your life? Well, one way you can do it is through podcasts. Anybody here have a smartphone? Well, be smart and use it. Download podcasts. I don't know how, Pastor John. Find an 8-year-old. They'll show you. I'm going to put on Facebook this week all the podcasts that I listen to. And so you can go on there. These are things that speak into my life. And how many of you shower? Come on. How many of you shower or bathe? Come on. Raise your hand. If you don't raise your hand. But if you do, come on. You're bathing people. When you go in your bathroom and you get ready, all you have to do is make a habit of not putting on just, you know, it's fine to have worship music. That's fine. But can I tell you something? Talk radio All it's designed to do is to sell stuff and to make you ticked. Okay, yeah, but they agree with me. Yeah, but, you know, and they're dead right, but they're still dead. It's irrelevant. Put the word in your life. Hit play. Get a wireless speaker in your bathroom. Every day of the world, when I get ready, I hit play. Somebody's talking to me. People I've never met before. I've had everybody from I've had men and women in the shower with me. How's that? Well, you got to qualify that in this culture. In word only. And what you find is that they speak into your life. When you commute to work, if you commute alone, put the word of God on in your life. Have somebody speak into your life. These are practical ways. God's word will cause you to grow up. You have to learn to desire the word of God. You have to give it permission to be in your life. Colossians 3, verse 16 said, permit the word of God to dwell richly in all wisdom in your life. You have to permit it. God's word doesn't just show up unless you act upon it. You've got to put it in you. You've got to, and he said, don't do it marginally, do it richly. Everybody say richly. But you see, when you talk about a devotional life, most people begin to hear, I have a duty. It's on my list of have to do's. It's something I have to cross off my to-do list. It's like cutting the grass. It's like having to go shopping and get something. It's like, well, we got to get groceries. It's one of the have-tos of life. No. It is something that you get to do, not that you have to do. And the Bible says, don't just do it marginally, do it richly. If you understood the value of putting the word in your heart, you would crave to do it. Let me explain it to you. This past Friday night, Michelle and I and our son Ryan had the opportunity to go have dinner with the couple that we helped raise money for, Ayman and Ruby Shaker, who are the Syrian family, the Christians. How many of you know there's a genocide going on in the Middle East for Christians, particularly in Syria? And you raised well over, was it over $20,000, Matt? $20,000+ to help get their family out of Syria into Lebanon, ultimately into Canada. And I've got good news for you. All 23 of their family members are out, and they're in Lebanon right now. Thank you for helping that happen. They've had family members murdered and just horrible things just because of the name of Jesus in their life. And so we were at their house, and they had us over, and Ruby wanted to make us a Middle Eastern dinner. And I love Middle Eastern food. Now, I have to tell you, I've eaten a lot of meals in my life. As you can tell, I don't miss them all. All right, but here's the deal. This had to be in the top three or four I've ever eaten in my life. She brought out, oh, Jesus. It was incredible. After food, after food, after food. And it was amazing. And we sat together and we talked and had a great time with them. And then she brought out all of these desserts that And of course, you know, I didn't want to be rude. So I couldn't eat all of them. I mean, but there was a point in the meal when I knew I shouldn't eat anymore. And I knew, okay, John, this is moving into a spirit of gluttony. It's probably not good. You probably should stop. And then I didn't. Do you ever have food so good you just think, I have to keep eating this? And then they brought out Turkish coffee. Now, see, I don't drink caffeine anymore. It's a terrible thing. Years ago, I was really addicted to caffeine to where I had to get up at 5:30 in the morning or I'd get a headache. So I would make I'd drink a mug of espresso in the morning. I loved it. I miss caffeine. It's the last legal drug for a Christian. I miss it. But I realized that, you know, I can't live my life this way. So I went off caffeine, and I'm telling you, it was miserable. I got off of it. Couple years down the road, I said, well, you know, I can still have a cup of coffee. So I had me a nice cup of coffee. I like strong coffee. Weak coffee is of the devil. I don't know why you would even waste your time. And I drink it, and my heart starts to go, and I thought, I don't like caffeine that much. And so they brought out Turkish coffee, which I love Turkish coffee, and it's like mud. It's amazing. With these desserts. Now, the point of all that was not to make you hungry and want to leave church and go eat. We ate richly with them. And by the way, they talked about getting together again, and I made it really clear that we want to do that again and eat with them again, and she can cook. So that was imposing on her. I don't care. Had you eaten the food, you would have imposed as well. But here's what I want you to understand. Her food dwelt richly in me. And I'm looking forward to the next time it dwells richly in me again. So why don't you take these people out to a restaurant? What are you, cheap? No, I'm just too selfish. It's that good. But my point to you is this. God wants His Word to dwell richly in you. See, when I started talking to you about the food Ruby made, I'm sure many of you, if you love Middle Eastern food, you were probably thinking, why didn't you invite me, you selfish thing? None of us would have went to that dinner and said, oh, I have to eat this food. But that's how people think of the Word of God. It's a have to. No, it's a get to. And when you put the Word of God in your life, the Scripture said you have to permit it to dwell richly in you. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus is explaining literally how the kingdom of God operates. And here's what He said. He said in Mark 4, verse 26, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters the seed of the Word of God upon the ground of his heart. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how, all by itself. The soil, or the heart, produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, and the harvest has come. The Scripture says, Jesus is actually, if you go back a few verses, He talks about the parable of the sower, and He said, if you don't understand this, you will not understand anything about how My kingdom operates. And Jesus said, here's how My kingdom operates, that a person will put the seed of the Word of God into the ground of their heart. Now, I'm going to be doing a series down the road again. We're going to talk about the parable of the sower because the condition of the heart matters. But assuming the ground is prepared for the Word of God, He said, if you'll keep the seed in the ground of your heart, it's going to grow. And the Word itself will produce. You see, you don't have to produce as a Christian because, by the way, you aren't powerful enough to produce. You are not the vine. You are the branch. The branch it bears the fruit. It doesn't produce the life that bears the fruit. Nothing that you do in your life, you do of your own self. Jesus said, without Me, you can do nothing. But when the Word of God's in your heart, He said, day and night, a lifestyle of having the seed of the Word in your heart, all by itself, the Word of God will produce. Every word from God has inherent within it sufficient power to bring to pass what it promises. There is not one word from God that lacks sufficient power to bring to pass what it promises in your life. Amen. But it's got to be planted, engrafted into your heart. The Word of God also, secondly, will cause you to have strength to stand in difficult days. Does anybody here ever have any storms in their life? Anything's ever did your life ever just take a left-hand turn and you didn't see it coming? Don't you wish life would be predictable and simple, and there'd be no trials, and there was no enemy that sought to kill, steal, and destroy? I wish that's called heaven, but that's not where we're at right now. Jesus said, in the world, you're going to have trouble. How many of you found out you don't have to pray for that Scripture to come to pass? He said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, or the trouble in this world, for you. The Word of God will cause you to stand. Look at what Jesus said about the power of acting on what His Word says. Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of Mine and puts them into practice or does them is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came, the streams rose, the winds blew, beat upon that house or against it, and yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of Mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. I want you to notice the storm of life came to two houses. The house represents your life. Just like your natural home is one of the most valuable things you'll ever own if you own your home or are working on owning your home, it's important that you understand your life is precious to God. It's precious to you. And He said, but in this life, Jesus said, the storms are going to come. They're not just going to come to the just, but they're going to come to the unjust. They're going to come to everybody. The storms of life are going to come. And here's the key. It's not the storm that will defeat you. Do you know how many people think, well, you don't understand my life. You don't understand my test. You don't understand. Everything's against me. Yeah, blah, blah. And this wasn't fair, and that wasn't fair. And I'm so sad, and just on and on. Like, you think, people think it's their problems that defeat them. It's not. The same storm came to both houses. One house stood, one fell. The one that stood is because they took God's word as the foundation of their life. It became their final authority. And they said, this is true for me. I'm not going to let this crazy, brain dead, hell bound culture tell me how to think and live. I'm going to take God at his word. I'm going to approach marriage the way God says marriage. I'm going to do husband like God says husband. You do wife like God says. We're going to parent like God says parent. We're going to hold our money like God says handle your money. We're going to talk about people the way God says to talk about people. We're going to hold our tongue when everybody else wants to let theirs run free. So, well, that's a very restricted life. No, it's not. It's building your house on a foundation, because he didn't say if the storm comes. He said when the storm comes, because in this world, the storms of life come to everybody. He said, but the person who either rejects the word of God, who hears it and does not do it, which means in basic terms, you've rejected it. He said, when that storm comes, the most precious thing you have, your life, is going to be the foundation from which you've placed it on is not able to support it. And Jesus said it will fall with a great crash. Can I submit to you, it's not the storms of life that defeat you, but it's the foundation from which you built your life. Because the storms of life come to everybody. You'll never meet a human being that's not encountered significant storms, tests, and trials in their life. But you have strength to stand when you put the word in your heart and you act upon it. See, when you listen to God's word, this morning, how many of you remember Dwayne Sheriff? How many of you remember Dwayne Sheriff? Get his podcast. It's incredible. And we're going to get Dwayne back here on a first Wednesday. Oh, by the way, next September, not this September, this September, John Bevere will be here at our first Wednesday. You looking forward to that? Yes. November, Henry Cloud will be here. And how about this? Next September, Chris Hodges is coming. Yeah, that's going to be fun. We're going to have a blast. Those of you who have gone through life, we're going to... All these wonderful people are coming, putting the word in your heart. You feed on the word. You find out what God's word says. You get insight and you begin to say, Lord, I will let that govern my life. Jesus said, when you let my words find a lodging place in your heart and then you let them govern your life or you do them, you're building your life on something immovable. And when the storms come against your marriage, when the storms come against your children, and they will, when the storms come against your grandchildren, when the storms come against your marriage, your health, your emotions, whatever, he said you'll stand because your life is built on a rock. And in this case, the rock is not Jesus. The rock is the words of Jesus that you act upon, you believe, and that you let govern your life. Can I say this to you though? If you don't put the word in your life, this message is useless. The seed only works when it's implanted. That's why it sounds very practical, but have a daily devotion. Have a daily time. And then when you have some free time, these phones are great. I can, at any time, I'm sitting there and I can just pop open my Bible application and just whatever comes up. The YouVersion has, verse of the day. And you can just whiz through like 10 days of the verse of the day. Just read, put the word in your heart. It doesn't have to be some religious thing that you do 76 hours out of 24. Make it a part of your life. Don't make it this religious burden. So when you put the word in your life, you grow spiritually. When you put the word in your life, you have strength to stand in the storm. You not only have strength to stand, you overcome the storm. It doesn't win. Your house remains standing. And the last thing he said, that when you put the word in your life, you will find out your true identity. We live in a world and a culture. It is an identity crisis in our culture. Most people identify themselves by their behavior, how they feel, their sin, their hurt, their pain, their trauma. I have this. I have that. This happened to me. I have this trouble. You have that trouble. I'm this. Well, then I must be. We live in a world where the culture of the world, the scripture said, is trying to squeeze you into a mold. But Romans said, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by the word of God, so that you can prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. If you don't have the word in your life, and you don't renew your mind to what God's word says, the world will squeeze you into its mold. It will bring you to death. It will come to steal, to kill, and destroy, because this culture is set ablaze of hell designed to hurt you and harm you. There is nothing good for you out of God. The lie of the culture is that this is fun, this is good for you, this will bring you pleasure. There is nothing good outside of God. Listen to me. There is nothing good outside of God's will for you. Nothing. Nothing, nothing. Don't buy the lie. But I'm talking to you about living a life where God's word is speaking to you. Not you and I putting down other people that are trapped in the darkness. But God, what are you saying to me? Listen to what James chapter 1, verse 21 says. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Let me stop there just for a moment. God said to me and to you, get rid of the moral filth in your life. He said, I want the prevalent evil of the culture to be evacuated out of your life, but I'm going to tell you how to do it. He said, by implanting my word in your heart and accepting it, my word will save you. Not your commitment, not your strength. Because if you don't let the word get planted in you, if you don't let the planted word save you, the moral filth and the prevalent evil of this culture will define you. Let me explain what I mean by that. It's a really key word here. The word of God. Everyone say planted. Let me ask you a question. What do you plant? Do you plant harvest or do you plant seeds? A seed disappears. Here's the deception that people live with. Well, it can't be changing my life. I don't feel any different. God said, put the seeds, this is how the kingdom works, put the seeds of my word every day of your life into the ground of your heart. And if you will accept those implanted seeds, if you will cultivate those implanted seeds, they will save you from the moral filth and degradation of the culture, the prevalent evil of the culture. Because we live in a world where that if you don't let the seed of the word of God define you, the culture will define you. Somebody struggling with their sexual identity. So what do they conclude? I'm gay. Why? That's how I feel. That's who I am. So they define themselves by how they feel. And so the culture, the prevalent evil in the culture, the prevalent brokenness in a culture, if you look at our culture, even the moral filth in our culture begins to define people. It's why people get addicted to pornography. And they say, well, I've tried. I fight against it every day. The Bible doesn't tell you to fight against it. It said, put the word of God in you, which will save you. The power of the word of God will rise up in you. There is an inherent grace within the word of God that is a divine enablement to enable you to do what it says. This isn't you doing it on your own. This isn't you white knuckling it and scraping up the mountain and losing all your fingernails. This is about you trusting the power in the word of God. And he said, and my seeds of the word will begin to grow in you, and they'll begin to bear fruit in you, and you'll find strength you didn't have. And generations of prevalent evil, generations of moral filth will drop off of you. And people are fighting against these things. God doesn't tell you to fight. He doesn't tell you. In fact, the scripture doesn't tell you to be strong. It tells you to be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might, putting on the armor of God, not your armor. Your armor's worthless. It's like cardboard. Your human will against the wiles of the enemy, against the prevalent evil and filth in this culture, is a joke. But I'm committed. Your commitment's not that strong. But I'm going to make a quality decision. You can make 80 of them. You're wasting your time. You must put the word of God in your heart. And when the word of God is in your heart, it actually is divine enablement to enable you to do what it says. And you will find a supernatural strength in the word of God. Yes, you'll still have to say no, because the word of God says, that in fact, the grace of God teaches us to say no to these things. What does it mean the grace of God teaches us to say no to these evil things in our culture? It enables you to say no. It's one thing to know that, yeah, I probably shouldn't eat that. How many of you, it's a whole big different thing to say I shouldn't and I didn't. Anybody ever sat down and looked at something on the table and said, you know, I shouldn't eat that? And then you did. There's a difference between shouldn't, that's religion, and enabled, that's Jesus. See, religion will trap you. You're trying to fight this battle on your own will trap you. And you will begin to be defined by the culture. Look what he goes on to say. Verse 22, don't merely listen to the word and then and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do it or do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror. And after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. The perfect law of the word of God that gives freedom. What brings you freedom? Your strength or his word? It's the word of God that brings freedom. But the man who looks into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Do you understand? The scripture says, this book is a mirror that will tell you who you are. This culture is a mirror that will tell you who you are. Your feelings will tell you who you are. You have three avenues from the outside that will define you if you let them. The world, that's the culture, the system around you, the devil and his kingdom, and your own flesh. The world, the devil, and the flesh. But Jesus said, the greater one lives on the inside of you. And you can overcome all of those outside influences if the word of God is implanted or engrafted into your heart. Because the power of God's word will cause you to be strong in him, will cause you to be able to walk free from the moral filth and prevalent evil of the age. But most people's identity has not been defined by looking into the mirror of God's word. Well, you know, I was abandoned when I was a kid, so I guess I'm not really, I must not be worth much if my own parents didn't stick around. And so I'm, you know, and so when I was a teenage girl, you know, I just wanted someone to love me, so I was sexually, you know, promiscuous, and I got pregnant when I was 17. I married the wrong guy, and he ended up treating me like garbage, and so we ended up getting divorced, and I was kind of, and I didn't have a good job, and God, I met another guy, because I went to this bar, because, you know, that's where you find great guys, and because that's how she sees herself. So why does she keep marrying abusive men? Because that's the mirror she sees herself. And life has defined who she is. And that precious little girl is now 28 years old, on her fifth man, living with some guy just before the promise of love, exposing her children maybe to two different men. She might have three kids to three different guys by now. And every time she gets around, quote, Christian people, she may feel like that look down your nose, like, oh, dear God. When our job is not to look down our nose at anybody, because the only difference between me and that little girl is Jesus. That's it. Amen. Our job is to help that little girl to find the right mirror, to find out, no, sweetheart, you're valuable and you're precious. You are not who left you. You are not who abused you. You are, and every man in your life that sexually just used you and left you with another baby, that's not who you are. And that little girl will begin to find out, you know what? I may have been rejected by others, but I'm accepted by God. I'm complete in Christ. I've been crowned with glory and honor and dignity and worth. The maker of the universe knows my name. He calls me his daughter. I'm valuable and I'm precious. I am so precious to him. He loved me so much he died for me. He cares for me. He loves me. He honored me. He satisfies me with his presence in long life. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He has a plan for my life. I am not the summation of my past or my past mistakes. My yesterdays are gone and forgotten. I am loved by my Father. I am precious. I am valuable before God. I am so precious that Jesus paid for me with his own life blood. That's who I am. And guess what happens when some loser walks into her world the next time? She sees him and she may not put him down, but she'll look and say, no, thank you. Take out the trash. I'm not putting that, you know what? No. I'm not here to be used anymore. And she begins to look at men in a different way. She wants to find out, listen, no. I don't want to know if you'll love me. I want to know, do you love God? I want to know if you know God. And I want to know if I can trust you. And he says, but if you love me, baby, you would. And she says, bye. Goodbye. And this little girl doesn't just turn her life around, but those three little kids who probably don't have a daddy in their life, she turns around three kids' generations who probably would have done the same thing she did, all because she began to live in the right mirror. Our job as a church is not to put people down. We are a place where you come as you are. I don't care what you think you are, who you think you are become, what gender you think you might be. You are welcome here. Amen. If you are willing to get in the Word of God and find out what He says about you. God, heavens, we live in a world where people are so broken, a culture so messed up. that the most prevalent discussion in a culture burning down is what toilet you use. Do you know how broken it has to be that that's the conversation? I'm not putting down a soul who struggles with those things. And don't make light of it. If you've never struggled in these areas, if you've never struggled with your sexuality, if you've never struggled with gender issues, you have no idea the torment people live with. The church ought to be a place you come as you are and let Jesus do something great in your life. He doesn't change you because he needs to change you to accept you. He changes you because he loves you. The same reason we want our kids to be able to grow into the image of who God made them to be. And this world has stamped its image on people's hearts. And you are never going to take that imprinted image of the world, the devil, and the flesh out of your belief system until you get the Word of God implanted in your life on a daily basis. And so I want to encourage you, don't miss this simple, it's so simple. The reason people don't do it is they don't believe there's power in the seed. They want to feel something every day. But a farmer that acted that way would never have a harvest. So I plead with you. You may not do it 7 days a week. Maybe you miss a couple here and there. So what? But make it a constant in your life where the Word of God is in your heart. Get in a small group. You say, well, I'm too busy. Listen, sweetheart, you're too busy. If you're too busy to put the most powerful force in the world in your life that will change your life for the good, you're way too busy. Get in a small group. Get into life, living in freedom every day. And go through it's an incredible program of God's Word where you go through a retreat. We have small groups of every ilk and every type. Summer small groups are going to be ending here soon, but then in the fall, they're going to be launching again. Get in a small group. Yeah, I'm thinking about it. Stop thinking about it and do it. How many of you are going to go eat lunch today or think about it? I promise you, no one's going to think about lunch. You're going to go eat it. Do it. Get connected to God. Come to church when we have church on weekends and on first Wednesdays. Don't come like our culture. People come to church like once every 4 weeks. They get one cold snack a month and expect to have spiritual strength. I want to pray with you today. I want to trust God with you. That as you act on these things, the implanted Word of God will save you. It will save you, not you yourself. He will take you places you never dreamed possible. He will deliver you from things you think are impossible. And the picture of who you think you are, no matter what that is, maybe that's with sexual issues, maybe that's with whatever issues, I don't care what the issues are, maybe it's anger. Well, I'm just an angry person. Listen, you don't understand, that's just how my family is. No, not your heavenly family. He said, well, you don't understand. That's just how our family is. What if your family were axe murderers? Would you walk around hacking people? I hope not. If not, leave your axe in the car, okay? Just, it's all we ask. God wants to define who you are. It's just so strongly coming up into my heart as I was praying about this service and praying for you that there are going to be so many people listening to me right now that you feel trapped. That there is an image on the inside of you that has lied to you and told you that you are, and you fill in the blank, worthless or whatever. You fill in the blank. You know what it is. And as you try to make steps to God, the image of that thing jumps in front of you and the God that loves you and says, this is who you are. This is who you are. This is who you are. And the only remedy to this is not you making a, I'm going to make a new commitment. Here's the commitment you want to make. I'm going to engraft the Word of God into my life on a daily basis. I'm going to pray and fellowship with God on a daily basis. I'm going to hear God's voice on a daily basis. And by the power that He provides, the truth will make me free. I won't make myself free. God will make me free. He'll get all the glory, and He will change this picture, and my internal picture will change to who God says I am. And I know then that I'm loved of my Father. I'm accepted in the Beloved. That I dwell in a secret place with the Most High, that my Father literally wants to shadow me with His presence. He wants to guide me. He wants to lead me. He wants to direct me. He wants to heal my broken heart. He wants to deliver me. He wants to set me free. He wants to take me out of the prison houses that I've lived my whole life or generations have lived. And he wants to make you free. And he wants you to walk unburdened and unfettered in life because he loves you. And when you understand his great love and how good he is, you'll run to the dinner table. It won't be a duty. It'll be like going to Ruby and Iman's house and eating till you can't breathe anymore. And I can tell you one thing. Good thing about this stuff, it doesn't make you fat. But it will make you full. And it will set you free. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for every person under the sound of my voice today. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. For people that are here today that feel trapped. They feel like they don't know how to get out of where they're at. They may have made 1,000 promises to you, or maybe they've already given up. No matter where they find themselves, Lord, I pray that today that they will take hold of what you promised in them. That if they will simply humble themselves, as your word declares, and humbly accept your word implanted into their life, that your word will save them. Your word will define them. Your word will actually help them discover their purpose. And the lies that have bound them and the walls that have been built around them, I pull those down in the name of Jesus. I take authority over the lies of the enemy that have been engrafted into their hearts. Lord, I thank you that they will act upon your word and put your word in their life. Father, I thank you that when Paul left the church at Ephesus, after he poured his life into them, he prayed this prayer. Now I commend you to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among those which are sanctified. Father, Paul leaving those people, perhaps in his mind forever, thinking he'd never see their face again, he commended them to the word of your grace, meaning your word that enables us to do it. Your word that gives divine enablement. He left. The final admonition was, I commend you, I commit you to the word of his grace, the word that produces divine enablement, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance. Lord, what I know about an inheritance, it's never earned, it's given. An undeserved inheritance is theirs. A building up is theirs by letting the word of his grace be rooted and grounded and firmly established in their heart. I speak that over them in Jesus' name. I take authority over the lies that have bound them because you have made them for something amazing. And I speak life over them. I speak life over them. In their pathway is life and there is no death. No weapon formed against them can prosper. Every tongue that has risen up against them in judgment will be proven to be in the wrong. This is their heritage, to walk with you, to know you, to hear your voice, to obey your voice, to be world changers, to be world overcomers by their faith, because our God is faithful. I speak that over them in Jesus' wonderful, amazing, fantastic name, the name that's above every name, the name that every knee must bow, Jesus. As every head remains bowed, every eye closed, if you're here and you don't know Christ as the Lord of your life, if you were to draw your final breath this morning and you were to slip into an eternity, do you know where you'd spend it? Dear one, there really is a heaven to gain and there really is a hell to shun. Jesus said there's a heaven. Jesus said there's a hell. And he said, I am the way, truth, and life. And no one, listen now, no one can come to my Father except through me. No church can make you a Christian, including this one. No church sacrament, no denomination, not baptism, not confirmation. No sacrament of any church, and that includes this one, can make you right with God. But if you'll give your life to Jesus, he promised. He turns no one away. He'll come. He'll make you brand new. You'll become brand new in him. Your sin will be washed away. You start brand new today. And he will never leave you and never forsake you. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here or you're watching and you're not certain if you died right now where you'd spend your eternity, don't leave here. This is without knowing your eternal destination. This is the most important decision you will ever make while you live on this earth, where you will spend your eternity. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you'd like to be included in that prayer to invite Christ in your heart, I want to pray for you right where you're seated. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, right where you're seated. Would you just simply raise your hand and I'll pray for you. Do it right now and we'll pray together with you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want to look one last moment. You've not yet raised your hand. You can see I'm not going to embarrass anybody or make you stand up and dance or something. This is so you can invite Jesus in your heart. Right where you're seated, his heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Say, Pastor, include me in that prayer. Thank you. God bless you. One last moment. You've not yet raised your hand. Say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. Do it right now, and I'll pray for you. One last moment. Thank you. Now listen, if you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it with your own ears. Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And you're about to begin a brand new life that will take you places you never dreamed possible. Pray it out loud where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart, the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is washed away. I am heaven bound. I confess with boldness that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? Best decision of your life.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.